I'd like to ask you to go to the New Testament in the Word of God this morning. And let's go to Acts chapter number 27. Acts chapter number 27. I believe the Lord has led me on this day, the Sunday before the election, and God has led me to preach on this very subject. And I want us to look to the Lord this morning. Nobody knows what's going to happen on Tuesday. Nobody knows. But no matter what happens, I can tell you this. I can tell you this for sure. Someone said that on Wednesday morning, I can tell you this, that God will still be on the throne of this universe. God's not going to change on Wednesday morning. He's going to be the same God who loves us and who is in control. And the reins of this universe are in the hands of an almighty God. Today I want to preach to you on this subject. Be of good cheer, for I believe God. Be of good cheer. You know, if we are not careful, we can allow a political climate that we are in today to discourage us. And we almost get weary of hearing about it. The commercials, the news, all of that we hear. It is almost an overload in many ways. But brethren, we must be of good cheer today. We should have joy today. We should have happiness today because we believe God. God is on the throne. God is going to take care of us. And no matter what happens, and look, my hope, my confidence, my trust is not in the next person to be the president of the United States. I'm going to vote. I've already voted. And I think we all should vote. In fact, what can we do during a time like this? Number one, and this is just little things I want to give you, we must pray. You know, the Bible tells us that we must pray. In fact, the Bible says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, the Bible says, and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. You know, brethren, we need God to heal our country. But you know, the Bible tells us, and please stay in Acts chapter 27. I want to just read to you out of what the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2. It says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. We should pray, and I trust that you are praying for the president who we have now of the United States. It was not my choice. I disagree with so much there, but he is still the president of the United States, and we should pray for him, whoever becomes the president on Tuesday. And of course, we know the inauguration is later than that. But whoever is voted into office, we should pray for them. What does the Bible tell us? The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. But secondly, what must we do? We must vote. Someone has said that in all the 240 years of American history, that this probably is the most crucial election of all. I tend to believe that and agree with them. So I've heard say that there are millions of Christians that are not registered to vote and are not even going to go vote. May I tell you something today? I believe that our voting is something that's not just a civic duty, but it is a spiritual discipline for the child of God. In fact, may I read to you in Romans what the Bible tells us. In Romans chapter 13 and verse number 1, it says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. And then it says this, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. That's hard for some people to accept. But brethren, do you know that God is in control of all things? He allows all things. We may not understand why God allows and permits things. But brethren, God is all-knowing and God is perfect and just and good, and He makes no mistakes. So we must vote on this coming Tuesday. Can I tell you this? Here in America, we all have opinions. But in America, our vote is our voice. It is the way for us to vote. Now look, I'll be honest with you and very candid with you and open with you this morning that, you know, obviously the two people, we have Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, they're neither the choice that I would have ever chosen to be voting for or against. In fact, you know, as far as we think of Republicans, and of course that's how I usually vote, I've always voted that way. In the very beginning, Ted Cruz, I was very excited about him. I knew that he knew the Lord. He had a strong testimony of his faith in Christ. And Mr. Trump is not my first choice, but I believe this. I believe that was what Mr. Trump stands for, the sanctity of life, that life begins at conception. Brethren, do you know that taking the life of an unborn child is called murder in God's Word? Abortion is against God. It's not just that it's accepted in society today. I can never vote for someone that believes that the unborn child, as Mrs. Hillary says, has no constitutional rights and that that can be destroyed and killed. It's unbelievable. I believe in religious freedom. I'm an independent Baptist by conviction. But there are lots of other religions out there. And by the way, I don't believe I have a religion. I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's different. Religion is dead, but a relationship with Christ is alive and well. But there are many other religions out there. I may not agree with those religions, but I believe they should have the freedom to serve their God in their way. And America was built on that principle of religious freedom. And there are candidates today that say, if you believe that way, you just need to change your thinking and you need to come across to our way of thinking. But brethren, America was founded on the principle of religious freedom. I believe that. I believe in the ability to serve God and worship God in our own way. So when I look at things, there are many things about Mr. Trump that I do not agree with. Many things that bother me, many things that disturb me. But as I put in the bulletin, I believe that what he stands for is what we hold true as what America believes in and strong in. And as Pastor Sexton said, my pastor, and I put on my Facebook account his little video, and he talked about, some people say, well, let's vote against someone. He said, let's vote for America. And I think we have to look at it that way. I'm not here to tell you who to vote for. That's between you and God. But I know this. I know that I have one voice, and I want to use that voice for the Lord Jesus Christ. No candidate is perfect. You know that every candidate is a sinner. They're sinners. But we do have to vote according to what the Bible teaches us. And I pray that God will help us. Now, today I want to bring our attention to what I believe that God wants us to see in all of this. Brethren, be of good cheer this morning, for we believe God. Let's go to Acts chapter number 27. And I want us to begin, if you would please, in verse number 9. And we will read down to verse number 25. Acts chapter number 27 and verse number 9. The Bible says this. Now when much time was spent and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. Now, I stop and we'll read on in just a moment. The apostle Paul is being imprisoned for his faith in Christ, preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's imprisoned. He is a prisoner here on this ship. And we know that they are taking Paul to Rome, where he will face trial and he will stand there. Now, by the way, it is of God's providential will for Paul to go to Rome. He's going to get the gospel there. In fact, he knows the gospel needs to get to Rome. Well, God's sending him there. And this ship is taking Paul to Rome. But God had spoken to Paul. And God had told him there's going to be a terrible storm and the ship is going to sink. And Paul came to the captain and said, look, I know God and I believe God. And God has told me that this ship is not going to make it. Of course, they did not believe Paul. They thought they had it within themselves to understand. And we know the story. What takes place is the ship does come under a great storm. But Paul has something to say. We read on here. Notice what the Bible says. And in verse number 11, once again, nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phenis and there to winter, which is an haven of Crete and lieth toward the southwest and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euryclidon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, strake sail, and so were driven. And we, being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me. I kind of like that. Paul said, you should have listened to my preaching, you know. Paul said, we're in this mess. You didn't listen to me. But he said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer. Can you imagine him saying that? Paul said, be cheerful. Paul said, have a good spirit about you. He said, be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. When I think about the time that our nation is in at this time, and by the way, my hope is not in the next president of the United States. Our hope has never been in that. Our hope is not in a man. In fact, the Bible tells us that we are not to put our confidence, we are not to put our trust in the princes of this world, the kings of this world. Our trust today is in Jehovah God. But I can say today, brethren, let us be of good cheer. Let us have the joy of the Lord. Let us be excited about the future because our future is as bright as the promises of God today. We can be of good cheer because I believe God. And if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you believe God today. And God is going to take care of us. Brethren, we must be this testimony to this lost and dying world to be of good cheer today. For we believe God. You say, well, Pastor, what difference can one person make? We can make a lot of difference. What difference can you make on your job site? You can make a great difference. The voice of one, as John the Baptist said, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Brethren, we must cry out. We must proclaim today. We must be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And we must tell others to be of good cheer, for we believe God. I remember years ago hearing the story, and this took place back in the presidency of Ronald Reagan, who, in my opinion, was probably one of the greatest presidents of the United States. And Mr. Reagan, in 1987, was in Berlin. He was getting ready to make what we know now as his famous speech. And he was in the room and making preparation. Of course, all presidents have people who help them write their speeches. And there was one man by the name of Peter Robinson. Now, Mr. Robinson had actually spent some time in Berlin. He had went around talking to the people and understanding. And of course, they were under the reign and control of Mr. Gorbachev during that time, and a ruthless man. And in the speech, Peter Robinson put the words, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. Well, all of the people in the State Department and the National Security Advisor hated that statement. They didn't like it. In fact, they told President Reagan to remove it from the speech because of how offensive it probably would have been when he was giving this speech in Berlin. But Ronald Reagan liked the statement. And sure enough, in 1987, as he was standing behind bulletproof glass and he was speaking, he said the famous words, "Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall." And 4 years later, the wall was torn down. I thank God for a man like Peter Robinson who had the faith and the courage to put that statement in that speech because it made a difference. But brethren, today we should not be going around saying, tear down this wall. We should be saying, brethren, be of good cheer, for we believe God. We, our hope, our confidence today. And by the way, many people talk to you about things in our nation. They talk to you about the future of America. They talk to you about all the troubled times. We live in days that are troubled. We live in times in which it seems like the reins of this universe have been let go. It seems as if the wicked are winning today. But we need to be that voice at our job site and in our homes and in our neighborhood and among our friends and our family to lift up the majesty of our God and to say, our God reigns today. Our God is in control. And we can be of good cheer today. You know something, brethren? I've got news for you. It really, in a sense, we think about all the things about our economy. We think all the things about war and terror and all of that. But brethren, beyond all of that, there is a God this morning who loves us and knows us. And brethren, I got news for you. You and I can be of good cheer because we're under the hand of an almighty God. Let us be of good cheer. Number one, I want to give you some simple things today. I pray that God would help us. Number one, be of good cheer because our God is sovereign. Now, this is something I want you to understand. I want you to take your Bibles, if you would, please, and let's go to Psalm chapter number 96. Psalm chapter 96, and I want us to look at some things here today. I believe that the Bible teaches what we know as the providence of God. The providence of God, someone has said, is defined as God's hand behind the headlines. In fact, a great preacher of years gone by, T. DeWitt Talmage, once said this. He said, despots may plan and armies may march and congresses of the nations may seem to think they are adjusting all the affairs of the world, but the mighty men of the earth are only the dust of the chariot wheels of God's providence. Do you understand today that if we believe the Bible and if we believe what God's word says, that our belief is that God is sovereign, and that means this, that God will always have His way in the end. That simply means that God rules over land and sea, and He guides the course of history toward His appointed end. In fact, many people believe, and I believe, that history means His story. Do you know that as we study the Bible, do you know that even during the days, let's think of when we're coming up on Christmas here, and we will talk about King Herod. Was King Herod a ruthless killer of a man? Absolutely. He had all those babies put to death, and Herod was a godless man. But do you know that God allowed him to be the king during the time, even when baby Jesus was born in this world? He was simply under the hand of God. Now, brethren, it does not mean that God approves of everything that a king or a president does. It doesn't mean that God approves of the terror and the wickedness. But God allows in His sovereignty all things, everything is under the controlling hand of God. Psalm chapter number 96, let's turn there. I believe you're there. Psalm 96, look what the Bible says in verse number 10. The Bible says, say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Look in verse 11. Let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. Look what it says in chapter 97 in verse number 1. It says, the Lord reigneth. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of isles be glad thereof. Go to chapter 99 of Psalm. Psalm chapter 99, and look what it says in verse number 1. Once again, the Lord reigneth. Let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubims. Let the earth be moved. Brethren, this morning, as surely as I'm standing behind this pulpit, and as surely as you're sitting in the seat, and you're listening to this message of God, our God is sovereign. We can be of good cheer today because God is in control. He is on the throne, and we are under the providential care of an almighty God. Listen, nothing is an accident to God. God is in control of all things. Brethren, that encourages me today. Brethren, some people think that God is dead. God is not dead. He has not surrendered His throne to anyone. He is in control today. I know that sometimes it looks as though the throne of the universe is empty. It almost seems we see violence and crime, and we don't see justice in the midst of that. We see lies prospering while truth seems to fade. It seems that evil seems to be in control of the world in which God has made. But brethren, there is a God on the throne of this universe who is beholding, He is ruling and overruling the affairs of man. I can be of good cheer today because God is sovereign. Take your Bibles and let's go to the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, chapter number 19. Do you know that when the Apostle John wrote the book of Revelation, that he lived in a world much like the world we live in today? Do you know that Caesar was on the throne when John was writing the book of Revelation? Caesar? You think that we've had it bad? John had it bad. In fact, do you know that when I read the book of Revelation, John is not saying, woe is me, Caesar is king, things are terrible, things are horrible. That's not the spirit in which John writes the book of Revelation. We come to Revelation chapter 19 and verse number 6. Notice what the Bible says here. John pens this. He says, and I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Verse number 7 says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His wife hath made herself ready. Here John is writing. During a terrible time, his world was similar to what we are dealing with even today. Caesar is king, but John doesn't say, I don't know what we're going to do. Caesar is king. Everything is done. Everything is over. We're never going to have peace and freedom again. No, he simply lifts up his eyes and he looks and he says, Alleluia, the Lord God omnipotent. That means He has all power. He reigns today. You know, he's a prisoner, John, at this time. In fact, John does not refer to himself as a prisoner of Caesar. He refers to himself as a prisoner of Jesus Christ. You know what he was saying? God has allowed me to be in prison. In fact, we know that some of the greatest men of God's Word, we think of John Bunyan, who wrote Pilgrim's Progress. Do you know that John Bunyan wrote that while he was in jail, in prison? Did God allow that to take place? Absolutely. Outside the Bible, Pilgrim's Progress is the book that is loved and used of God more than any other book outside of the Word of God. You see, brethren, we have a God this morning who is sovereign. There is nothing that can come to you and nothing that can come to me that has not first gone through the loving hands of a loving Father who has allowed it into our life. Listen, sometimes that's hard to take. Sometimes it's hard to imagine that God is a God of love and yet God has allowed this tragedy, and God has allowed this heartache. But brethren, no matter how dark the day, and no matter how terrible our lives and situation may be, we need to look up and say, Alleluia, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth today. Brethren, be of good cheer. Our God is sovereign. May I say this to you? Every president, every congressman, every senator, every governor, every foreign prime minister, every tyrant is under the sovereign government of an almighty God. You say, Pastor, does God approve of all that? Absolutely not. But God permits, for reasons known only to Himself, for people to act contrary to the will of God, but His sovereign will is never thwarted. Do you understand this morning that God's will be done? God is in control. You say, well, Pastor, I just cannot believe that. Then, brethren, we do not believe God's word. Because all through the Bible, let's talk about Joseph. What did Joseph go through? His brothers threw him in that pit out of envy and vengeance and jealousy. Joseph was taken to Egypt. Where was God in all that? God mistook Joseph. God didn't love Joseph. No, God, under His providential care, allowed all the hardship, the hurt, the pain to come to Joseph because God was working a great work. We have the same God today who is in control. The Bible says He sits on the circle of the earth. He is in control. He reigns today. He is sovereign today. That means that I can be of good cheer because no matter what happens Tuesday, my God still reigns. And I can be happy in that. You see, brethren, today I don't want to get your eyes necessarily on a candidate to look to them for our hope, our confidence, our trust. Our eyes need to be on Jesus Christ because He reigns today. He is in control. You see, there is not a single event in all of the universe that can occur outside of God's sovereign control. You know what that means? That means this. The only thing that you and I can depend upon today is the rule and reign of Jesus Christ. And because He reigns, and because He is on the throne, then we can face tomorrow with courage and confidence. We can have joy today because our God is sovereign. Reminds me of the little boy late at night. He had found one of those thrilling mystery stories, and it was kind of one of those stories he was reading at night. You know, one of those stories about the villain has come and captured the beautiful young lady, tied her to the railroad tracks, you know. The train is coming. And he's hoping the good guy comes to save. And all of a sudden, his mom came in and said, "Son, put that book down. You got to go to bed." He said, "Oh, Mom, it's getting so exciting. I'm at that point. Mom, I can't." She said, "Son, you got to go to bed." Well, you know what boys do after Mom left. He reached under the bed and got the flashlight, you know. And he knew his mom was going to come back in there quickly. So he went to the last chapter of the book. And he read. And sure enough, the hero comes riding on the white horse and unties the girl just in time. And right off in sunset, life is good, you know. And sure enough, his mom came back in and he said, "Son, put that book down." And he got back to it. He went back to where he was reading, and he read where the crook was smiling, and he knew he had the day. And he said to the book, he said, "If you knew the end, you wouldn't be smiling right now, you know?" Well, can I tell you something? Brethren, I know the end, and we can be of good cheer. We can trust our God. He is sovereign. He is in control. You know something? This hits home to all of us. I have children, and my children are getting older day by day. It's hard to let them go, is it not? No, it's not really that. It's hard to trust God with your children. One day I was leaving, and I was getting ready to go somewhere and preach, and I was flying out, and I was leaving my family. I said, "Lord, I got to stay here and take care of my family." But you know, the Lord whispered to me in my heart and said, "I can take better care of them than you can ever take care of them." Brethren, we just think that we're in control of things. We just think that we are taking care of things. Brethren, we have a God in heaven who is sovereign. He is on the throne. So we can be of good cheer because God is sovereign. Number two, the last thing this morning, be of good cheer because God is sufficient. What do you need today? All that you need, you already have if you have Jesus Christ as your Savior. Our God is sufficient today. Take your Bibles and let's go to Psalm chapter 103, if you would please. Psalm chapter 103. Brethren, the Lord has designed the Christian life that if things do not turn out the way that you expected them, and our lives are full of that, then we can still have joy and we can still have victory when we place our faith in God. Now listen to me. I don't know what's going to happen Tuesday. I'm going to vote, I'm going to pray, and I have been praying, and I believe that's what we can do. But brethren, may I say this to you, no matter what happens, I can still have victory. I can still be, as the Bible calls us, that we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. I can be a conquering Christian. I can have victory. I can have the joy of the Lord because of my faith in God. My faith says, Lord, I don't know what's going on, and I don't have the answers, but God, You're in control, and You are all that I need. He is sufficient. Psalm chapter 103. Would you join with me as we look at this psalm together? And I may not read all of this, but can I read some of this? What a powerful psalm. Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep His covenant, and to those that remember His commandments to do them. The Lord, look in verse 19, hath prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all. Our God is sovereign. But brethren, this morning, He is sufficient. He is all that you and I need. Can I tell you this? In Him, we are happy about the past because our sin is, by His precious blood, forever blotted out. In Him, we are happy in the present because He is with us as our constant companion, our never failing friend. He is over us, victorious. He is our conqueror. He meets our every need. In Him we are happy because our future is as bright as the promises of God. Because Psalm 23:6 says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Did you know that's a promise from God? What's going to happen on Wednesday? The goodness and the mercy of God will follow you all the days of your life. What's going to happen this week? What's going to happen in the days to come? And as evil men and seducers wax worse and worse, our God is still sufficient. And we can trust Him. And we can depend upon Him. He hears our prayer. I love back in Psalm 103 where it says in verse 13, like as a father pitieth his children. You know something? My children this morning, if they need me, I'm right there for them. Boy, I'd tear down house and home to get to their aid. I'd do whatever is necessary. I would give my own life for my children to take care of them. And brethren, we are our Heavenly Father's children. When we cry out to Him, as the Bible says, Abba, Father, He hears our prayer. He comes to our aid. He takes care of us. He meets our need. Brethren, we live in a changing world, but our God never changes. He is still the same. He is sufficient to meet our needs. Now, brethren, the greatest danger today is not the danger of what could happen. Our greatest danger today is not necessarily in the terrorists that could harm our nation. Our greatest danger today is that we fail to trust God in the midst of what we are dealing with. Our danger today is that we would get our eyes off of the Lord and we would not trust God and depend upon the Lord. Do you know, as we're studying the life of David, do you know that David's greatest temptation was not in taking the life of Saul, because he spared the life of Saul. David's greatest temptation and his greatest danger was that he would not trust God in the midst of what he was dealing with. And brethren, today we must trust our God. We must depend upon our Father. Hebrews 13:5 says, we are to consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Brethren, today, let us believe God. Let us trust our God who is sovereign, our God who is sufficient, our God who keeps us safe, our God who takes care of us. And brethren, can I tell you this? This world, it's not our home. We're just a passing through. Years ago, I heard the story entitled The Miracle of a Brother's Song. Now, this took place years ago. A family was expecting their second child. This family, who lived in Knoxville, Tennessee, was now going to have another little child. In fact, the doctor said it was going to be a little baby girl. Their son, who was 3 years of age, his name was Michael. Well, Michael was pretty excited about getting a baby sister. In fact, at nights when his mommy would sit on his bed, Michael made preparation to meet his little baby sister one day. And he would begin to sing. He would sing to mommy's tummy. And we know that scientists tell us that babies can hear those things. And of course, Michael would sing. He would always sing his favorite song, You Are My Sunshine. And he would sing that song to his little baby sister before she was born. Well, the day came when the mother had to go to the hospital and the baby was coming, but there were some grave complications. The baby was born but was in serious condition. In fact, they had to transfer the baby to the NICU unit, the NICU of St. Mary's Hospital in Knoxville, Tennessee. Days passed and the little girl was growing worse. In fact, the doctor said, Mom and Dad, there is no hope. Mom and Dad, she's going to die. Parents who had prepared a room in their house for that little baby, a nursery, was ready. Now they were going to the funeral home, purchasing a plot and purchasing a little coffin. They were at the depths of despair. They began to pray and seek the face of God. They began to ask God to work in their life if that was His will. It is not always God's will. He has a purpose in all of that. And the parents were so distraught. Days went by and the little baby girl got worse and worse. And one day Michael said to his mommy, Mommy, I want to go to the hospital and I want to sing to my little baby sister. And of course, you understand that in the NICU unit, little children are not allowed to go in there. But the mother said, I want Michael to see his baby sister before she goes to heaven. And so she put the little scrubs on him. Of course, they were way too big on a three-year-old boy. And she was bringing him into the room. And the nurse stopped and said, whoa, wait a minute. No kids can be allowed in here. And the mom said, he wants to sing to his baby sister. He will sing to his baby sister. He went in and there was the little baby in the incubator fighting for her life. And Michael began to sing his favorite song, You Are My Sunshine. And oh, he sang it with all of his heart. And instantly, the little baby girl began to get better. In fact, the doctors noticed that her pulse became steady immediately as Michael was singing the song. Her breathing eased and became normal. The mother said, Michael, keep singing. And Michael sang, and the baby began to do well. In fact, it is recorded that days after that, the little baby was released from the hospital and is doing just fine today. You know what? In the midst of what was so tragic, someone could sing. Someone could lift their voice of song and prayer to God, knowing that God is able. And brethren, we do live in tragic times. We do live in days in which it seems the darkness prevails over us. But brethren, be of good cheer today. Let us be of good cheer. Let us praise our God. Let us tell others of Jesus Christ. Let us stand true and lift our voices of praise to God. For we believe God today. Brethren, He is sovereign. He is in control. He is on the throne. He is sufficient to meet our need. If you're here this morning and you don't know where you would go if you died, brethren, Jesus Christ is the only answer for you. The Bible says He is the way. He's the only way. He is the truth. He is the only truth. And He is the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is the only way. He is sufficient to give you salvation and to give you a home in heaven. But if you're a child of God today, oh, brethren, we need to walk with our head held high. We need to walk with cheer in our heart because our faith is in an almighty God who is in control. Be of good cheer, for I believe God. Let's bow our heads in prayer today.